Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chana Meira Katz, and today I'll be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Kuf Dalet, 104, Barchi Nafshi. This is one of the most famous Prakim of Tehillim, and it's a huge challenge to squash everything into just 15 minutes. I'm going to try to give you a taste, but it's such a powerful Perek of Tehillim. It contains one of the most detailed and diverse descriptions of nature in all of Tanakh. It contains an abundance of imagery from animals and plants and the mineral world, and it relates to man as part of creation. We've said many times that the nations of the world owe their allegiance to Hashem because He created them when He created the world. And if they reflect on nature, this will help them to see Hashem. And we end off this mizmor saying, Yehi chavod Hashem, let the glory of Hashem be forever. So this is the perek that explores how man can find Hashem in nature and come close to Him. And it does it through a poetic description of the 6 days of creation. The Midrash in Shmot Rabbah says that Moshe told the events of creation without much elaboration, and they remained very obscure until David came and elaborated them in this Perek of Tehillim. And a lot of Midrashim will reference Psukim from this Perek of Tehillim when they want to understand aspects of Bereshit. So there are many ways to divide this Perek. We're going to use the 6 days of creation as our guide of how to unpack the Perek. But I just want to clarify, we're looking at how Hashem provides for every creature that He has created, the system that He established originally, and how the system works today. So we start off, Baruchi Nafshi et Hashem, Hashem Elokai Gadolta Ma'od. My soul will bless Hashem, my God, how very great you are. And then we say, Hod v'hadar levashta. Glory and beauty are your clothes. Whenever we say Hod v'hadar, we're talking about being a king, royalty. We're referring to Hashem as a king, but we don't say the word melech at all in the perek, because this is Hashem deeply and intimately connected to every creature, making sure they have their food. Hashem is looking at every minute detail to make sure everyone has what it needs. So we have a very terse description of the first day of creation. It just says that Hashem cloaked Himself in light, ote or kasama. Hashem wrapped Himself with light like a garment, and He stretched it across the heavens like somebody spreading a curtain. On the second day, Hashem separated upper waters and lower waters. The upper waters, what did Hashem do? So in it, Hashem puts all of His messengers. He's got messengers which we would call malachim, angels. Messages of wind, messages of fire, and He's also put the water system that will one day irrigate the world. The clouds are up in heaven at this stage. And then we said He separated the upper waters and the lower waters. Yosad Eretz al Mechoneha, Hashem set up the earth on its foundations, but Tohom Kalavush Kisisa, He's covered this earth with a layer of water. On the third day, Hashem is now going to establish what earth looks like. We said that the water is covering the whole earth. You can't see mountains or flatlands or anything. But then it says, Min garat chayi nosun min kol ram chayi chafezun. Your forceful command on the third day caused the water on the earth to quickly flee. They rushed away at the sound of your voice. So in Bereshis, it just says that Hashem gathered up the water. Here it tells us how Hashem gathered the water with a strong shout, almost like He terrified the water into place. So we see as the water retracts, now the land is revealed and we see mountains and valleys. But as we mentioned in our Midrash a few lessons ago, the water rebelled and it tried to overflow the earth. Gavul Samta, Balya Avaron, you set a boundary on the oceans that it couldn't cross. Balya Shivun Lachasot Aretz, so they shouldn't return to covering the land. So Hashem made a boundary with the sea, you cannot cross. But then it says Hashem also took some of this water, HaMashaleach Mayonim Banachalim. Hashem sent springs to feed the rivers. So these rivers are nourished from underground wellsprings of water. It also said poetically that Hashem put water on the tops of the mountains and it flowed down. So you have natural springs, you have flowing water. The earth in and of itself has a natural system of providing water. And we know, for example, countries like Egypt don't rely on rain. They rely solely on the Nile. What other creatures rely on this water? So it carries on and it says, Yashku kol chayosa, let's try that again. Yashku kol chayosa sadai, yisbru pra'im tzama'am. All the animals of the field drink from these waters. The wild animals quench their thirst in them. Alem of a shamayim yishkon, mi ben afayim yitnu kol. The birds of the sky dwell beside the river. They raise their voice to praise Hashem from among the leaves of the trees. So this is a poetic vision of nature coming to drink from the natural sources of water. But remember, we said that on the second day, Hashem separated the upper waters and the lower waters, and the upper waters was going to become the rain. So now the next part of the parak is going to detail about the effects of rain. It doesn't really mention it, it just hints to it poetically. It says, Mashke harim me'ali asav, Hashem waters the mountains from his clouds. Mi prima secha tisba ha'aretz, from the fruit of your work, meaning rain, the earth will drink. On the third day, there was two things that happened. Hashem separated the water and the earth. And then Hashem also had all the grass and the vegetation sprout. So that's what's described next. Matzmiach chatzir livahema. Hashem makes grass grow for the animals. Ve'esev la'avodat ha'adam. And herbage for man to work with. Meaning animal gets food that he can eat straight away. Man gets raw products that he still needs to produce. So while every other creature in nature is given its sustenance automatically from Hashem, man has to work for it. And not only that, man has behema to help him. Lohotzi lecha min ha'aretz, to get his sustenance out of the ground. But man is not an animal. He doesn't just grow food to eat. He is able to cultivate more than that. V'yayin yismach levavenosh, and he will grow grapes to make wine to gladden his heart. Lahatzil panim mishemen, and oil which will make a person shine. V'lechem levav enosh yisod, and bread which supports a person's heart. So we see that man is meant to be not just animalistic with basic survival, but he's supposed to enjoy his life. And oil is also symbolistic of wisdom, pursuit of knowledge. Hashem put us in the world to think and contemplate. He wanted us to be intellectual creatures as well, not just animalistic surviving creatures. Yisbu'u atzei Hashem arzei levanon. So this next section, once we've discussed man who has to work, and he's not just working for his own subsistence, he is working for an elevated existence. Hashem wants us to know that even though we have to work for our food, there is still deep hashkacha in the world. There's deep supervision. Because in the next few psukim, he's going to delineate different animals that are removed from society, far away from man. They're not going to benefit like the behemoth from man's feeding. They have to have a system where they're fed. So Hashem will bring water for the animal and for the inanimate object of nature that houses it. So for example, Yisbu'u atzei Hashem arzei levanon. Hashem will water trees of the Lebanon. Because Sham Tziparim Yekanenu, because they're trees that build their nest there. And also Chasidah Barashim Beisa, and the stork builds its nest in the cypress tree. So Hashem makes sure that these trees are watered. And then Harim Hagvim Laya Elim, and Hashem will make sure there's enough vegetation up in the high mountains for the mountain goats. Slaim Machse Lashfanim, and he creates rocks for shelters for gophers and rabbits. This is very similar to Eov when Hashem comes to talk at the end of Eov. And Eov is challenging him that you've abandoned me. Hashem says, you know, in nature, there are these remote places that human beings have not set foot. And I've put in their systems that animals with no brains can be looked after, that they have their food, water, and safety. So as we humans engage in the world to earn our sustenance and live an elevated existence, we have to also trust that Hashem put a world that works, that everyone has everything that they need. So the first whole section that we've discussed from day one till day three is showing a delineation of space. Everything has its place to be and its system of water that it's being fed. Now we're going to get into separation of time in the fourth day of creation when Hashem creates the sun and the moon. Hashem created the moon for us to tell time. The Jewish calendar is based on the moon and all the holidays are based off Rosh Chodesh. So the way we have our whole system of Yom Tovim is because of the moon. Shemesh Yodah Mevo'ah. The sun is how we tell time for the day, and we explain what this means in the next pasuk. Hashem put a system that within 24 hours, every creature gets its food. Creatures that come out at night, Toshet Choshech Vayi Laila, Batir Mos Kochai Zoyar, you bring darkness, it becomes night, all the animals of the forest creep about. And then when the sun rises in the morning, those night creatures go back and human beings come out. And it says again, Yatza Adam Lepo'alo, man comes out to work. Ulavadata Ad Erev, he has to labor until evening. He's not going to get his food by doing nothing. And at this point, the Mesharer bursts out, Marabuma Sech Hashem, how numerous are the works of your hand.
Kulam b'chachma asita, everything done with wisdom. Mal'a ha'eretz kinenecha. The earth is full of your possessions. The reason that David is so overcome with the need to praise Hashem at this point is because chachma, wisdom, is boundaries, differentiation. When you can set boundaries, that is a sign of wisdom. Then we carry on for the fifth day of creation, which is the sea. Zehayam gadola rechav yadayim, sham remes vei misbar chais katanasim gadola. She created the enormous wide seas, their countless creeping creatures and living things, big and small. So the sea has its own ecosystem. You have very tiny fish living off plankton, slightly larger fish eating the small fish. Everything there has something that it can feed off. But just like the land, where we have nature that is provided with its food without effort, but man has to work. We have man working even in the sea. Sham aniyat yahalechon. There we have ships. And what are the ships for? It's for business. Here we see man is elevating his way of sustenance. It's not just subsistence farming, growing what he needs, but he's engaging in commerce. He's trading with other people. He's exploring. He's finding new lands. That will bring him more yayin, his wine, his pleasures. But just like we need oil for wisdom, we're not just made for business. It says, Leviathan ze yasarta lesachek bon. Hashem also made the Leviathan. The Leviathan is a Kabbalistic concept of the reward that the righteous people will receive in Olam Haba, in the world to come. So not only are we meant to engage in commerce, but we're also meant to engage in ways that will allow us to earn our reward of this Leviathan, whatever that means. Kulam alecha yasaberin. All of these creatures look to you, hopefully, latetachlem lachlam beitah, to give them their food at the right time. The pasuk starts with plural, kulam, all of them, but it finishes beito at its right time, because we're saying Hashem put multiple systems in the earth of time and space where every single creature will get its designed and designated food at the right time, at the right place. Some of them, titen lahem yilkutun, they will have to gather their food, and some of them, tiftach yadcha yisbuntom, some of them you just give them food. Now, sixth day is Adam. And what happened when Adam was created? The whole world was created for Adam to be able to work with something. That's why it says that Adam was put in the Garden of Eden, la'avda u'lashamra, to work and to guard it. When we do what we're supposed to do, Hashem opens his hand, everyone gets their food, be'itah. But on the sixth day, when Adam ate from the fruit that he was not supposed to, tastir panecha yibahelun, when you, God, hide your face, the world is terrified, right? Tasef rucham yigva'un, when you take back their soul, they die. Adam introduced death into the world when he ate from the fruit. So we have Adam on the sixth day. When he does what he's supposed to, the entire world gets their food. When he doesn't do what he's supposed to, he brings death into the world. But even death is an act of chesed, because we know when we look at nature, for example, when the leaves die in the fall and fall into the ground, they will decompose, they form mulch, and they nurture, they give food to the roots growing underneath. And then that leads to rebirth and regrowth. And that's symbolic with everything in nature. When we talk about l'dor v'dor, generation to generation, or me'alam ad olam, from world to world, we're saying that the world is built in a system that needs regeneration. Just like the nesher ne'urachi, the molting eagle, that needs to shed its feathers to grow new ones. But t'shalach ruchachai b'rein, Hashem will bring us back. We believe in t'chiyat ha'mesim, God will send his spirit to us, and he will recreate us, utchadesh pene adamah, and renew the face of the earth. But there will come a time when we will be resurrected and come back to life. So now that we have this amazing ecosystem, where all different aspects of nature, from inanimate to human, all have their food source, all have their time and place to be. The poet finishes off, Yehi chavod Hashem la'olam, may Hashem's glory live forever. Anyone who looks at the system of nature will have to recognize God. This is how the nations of the world will one day recognize God. Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. We hope that God is happy with his creations. And we finish off, and this is the line for all of us to take with us. Ashira la Hashem b'chayat. I sing to Hashem with my life. Azara lelokai ba'adi. As long as I exist, I sing to Hashem. Hashem put a system, and he keeps stressing, le'avda, pa'ala, we're meant to work it. So when we go about and we take everything that Hashem has put into this world, and we elevate it by living a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life of Torah and mitzvot,
We're singing to Hashem in the morning when we wake up and we take our kids to school. We're singing to Hashem. When we exercise, that we have a healthy body to serve Hashem better, we're singing to Hashem. You're kind to a coworker, you give tzedakah, you're singing to Hashem. Every aspect of your day, where you're doing what you're supposed to do, we're praising Hashem through our life. The very way we live is a praise of Hashem, and we carry on. Yerav alav sichi, we hope our prayer is sweet to Hashem. We hope the way that we live gives Hashem nachas. Anochi esmach b'Hashem, and we in turn rejoice with Hashem, because we look at this immense ecosystem and we realize everything Hashem does is good. Everything. And we finish off, Yitamu chatai min ha'aretz. May the people who do bad things disappear from the earth. Or she'im adanam, there should be no more evil in the world. Barachi nafshi et Hashem, my soul bless Hashem. And we have a new word introduced that we haven't had before. Halleluka. We only have this word once evil is taken out from the world. So now that we say, Yitamu chatai min ha'aretz, let sinners be removed from the earth, now we can have Halleluka. So we're slowly getting to the end of our fourth book of Tehillim. And all the themes are slowly coming together. In the next two prakim, I'm going to sum up for you how everything interconnects. But now we see at least how the nations of the world connect to Hashem. And we said we connect Hashem when we reflect on the miracles that Hashem did for us. So our next perek that we're going to do tomorrow, Kuf Hei, is Hodu La Hashem. We praise Hashem as we reflect on our history, all the miracles that Hashem has done for us over time. Thank you for studying Le'ilu Nishmat Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of She'arit HaPleta. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzhak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.